Anything that anyone wants to talk about, that's what it is. I would renew my motion for the adoption otherwise.
The senator from Christian has moved for the adoption of conference committee report on Senate Bill 860. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Franklin, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Madam President. May I inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
Madam President, I won't ask you to actually respond to me. I'm just going to say a few things. I don't know if you've noticed that the senator from a certain area of the chamber over there has referred to you as Mr. President a couple of times, and I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention that so far you are the most influential presiding officer that I have ever seen in this chamber, because Madam President, you got 19. I don't know if you noticed it, but you got 19 of our colleagues to do something that I've only been able at best to get four, and that is for them to say the word yes instead of the word I. And so, Madam President, I am very impressed. I am very proud of you, and I'm very impressed. You did something that I've never been able to do. Evidently, the minority leader has more influence than the majority whip, and my hat's off to you for that. I guess I just figured it out today, and you made it very clear, and so I thank you for clearing that up for me, Madam President.
Senator from Lewis, for what reason do you rise?
Madam President, you have been around here a long time, and I'm sure you have seen this book. You did something that he hasn't been able to do. I know I'm not perfect. I break a few rules, but not near as many as the senator from Johnson. But on page 33, it does specifically say the vote shall be taken by yeas and nays. I wanted to bring that to your attention, Madam President.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator from Lewis. Does any senator desire to be heard on the conference committee report? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Madam President, may I inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
Madam President, in our chamber is engraved, free and fair discussion will ever be found, the firmest friend to truth. Do you support that statement, Madam President?
You are not recognized to state that inquiry, Senator from Barton. She said that. Would you like to speak on a point of personal privilege?
I would, Madam President. Thank you.
The senator from Barton would like to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Madam President, I just was observing the engraving here in the chamber and was wondering out loud, because I can't ask you a question, whether, in your opinion, equal time should be given to both sides of this debate over how wonderfully you've served in the Senate. I do think, Madam President, it has been a great pleasure the 2 years that I've been able to serve with you, and I have appreciated that time. I consider you a friend. Excuse me. We're going to miss you in this body. It's been more of a pleasure some days than other days. I confess that. But I wish you the very best, and I'm sure all of my colleagues here, many of whom have already expressed themselves, wish you the very best in all of your endeavors after this. And thank you for the privilege, and I thank God for the privilege of getting to serve with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator from Barton. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the conference committee report? The senator from the first, for what reason do you rise?
Madam President, to inquire of the senator from Christian.
Senator from Christian, do you yield to the senator from the first?
I do.
All right. So I am looking at what I believe to be a fiscal note for at least one rendition of Senate Bill 860. And that fiscal note indicated an impact on state revenue, or at least for general revenue, in excess of $500,000 annually after FY15.
Senator, I believe, and I hope I'm stating this correctly. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
I believe that was the amendment that was taken out that added income taxes, I believe.
Well, I'm not, let's see here.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, as I look through the fiscal note, I mean, are we talking about, let's see here. Let's look through this. I see a reference to Section 143.221, the withholding tax filing requirement, and I don't necessarily see where there's specific attribution of fiscal note calculation to that, but I assume that Section 143.221, and I'm double-checking that right now as I'm talking, remains in the conference report. I see that it does. We change the amount deducted and withheld by any employer where it's less than $100 as opposed to $20 in each of the four preceding quarters. Now, does that have a positive or negative effect on revenue or no effect? Do you have an understanding?
I wouldn't think it would have an effect, but
because it's simply withholding. It's simply withholding.
Now, that's been discussed on the floor, and I can't remember what the discussion was, but I as far as whether there was a fiscal note or not, but I wouldn't think it would have one.
Now, as I look at the fiscal note, I think I see an analysis of the fiscal impact, and I think to the extent there is a fiscal impact of that provision, it is only insofar as the difference, basically interest and time value of money.
Exactly. They would still pay it eventually, just not quarterly. I get what you're saying, that the state might not get the money quite as quickly.
And I think I see where it says that it was assumed by revenue that the proposal could reduce total state revenue by a whopping $17,500 annually. And again, that is interest on money that would be left in the taxpayer's pocket as opposed to the tax collector's pocket.
Correct.
And we're talking about a whole $17,500, assuming interest rates are frankly, relatively high. So, do you? I guess my question, and I'm looking at the fiscal note, and this was printed May 16. I don't know if it was. It's dated May 6, 2014. Just so you know what fiscal note I'm looking at, because you've got the estimated net effect on general revenue. It says could exceed $542,989 after FY15. Estimated net effect on other state funds after FY15, it's estimated that could exceed a little less than half a million dollars, $480,887. And it further estimates that the local funds would diminish by an amount exceeding $646,353. So, I guess my question is, if you're familiar with that fiscal note, you said you thought that the provision that triggered all of that has been stripped out. Can you identify for me, what that provision is? For instance, the fiscal note talks about the piece on the sales tax exemption for manufactured homes, and I think you indicated it was your belief that would be a zero impact.
I was told it should be zero because we've not charged that for the last 25 years. So it wouldn't be, there would be nothing changed over what we've been doing.
Yeah. Now, I'll say that the budget and planning officials, I guess, assumed that the retail value of homes, the homes in question, would be $43.5
right.
million dollars a year.
Right. The way I understand it, the manufacturer pays it when they buy the materials to build the home, and it's in the price when the person buys the home.
Right.
As I understand it.
So what the fiscal note says is that the proposal regarding manufactured homes might reduce general revenue receipts by $1.3 million and education revenues by $0.4 million and revenues for other state funds and local governments accordingly. I take it that you disagree with the fiscal note's assumptions.
I do. As far as I can tell in here, the only two things I would think would deal with it of what the two you've talked about. One, I know the sales tax is already being paid when the home is sold. We've not charged a sales tax when the home is resold a second time in the past 25 years. The other one, I guess I could agree with you. If the state got the money a little quicker, I suppose they would have them maybe draw interest on it a little quicker, but I can't see how they would get less money.
Yeah, well, so do you mind? And I know you sort of went through this. We're talking about resale of manufactured homes that have already been put into the stream of commerce mm-hmm. on the initial purchase.
And they would continue to pay personal property tax to the counties, you know, after they're sold. I mean, they would continue to do that. That, I mean, it doesn't relieve them of that.
Huh. All right. Well, and this happens from time to time in the legislative process where we will get a fiscal note that will make a set of assumptions that the sponsor or other members of the body may disagree with. But I'm just trying to understand where this estimated change on revenue comes from, because you'd agree with me, particularly with Senate Bill 509, but also with other legislation.
Right.
We've done some things this session, and in the case of 509, not in the immediate future, but in the event of revenue growth in excess of $150 million, to decrease over time,
right.
You know, to the tune of $620 million, right. We think, total state revenue.
Right.
And what I would say is, you know, Senate Bill 509 guarantees $750 million in new revenue against $620 million in tax cuts. And the sponsor of 509, and I frankly agree with him, believes that by the time 509 would be fully implemented, the revenue growth would be higher than $750 million, because that is the floor, that is the trigger floor.
Right.
But the thought that we would have revenue growth of $150 million annually, five times, and only $150 million, and not $173, and not $210 or $370, but only $150 million, is a somewhat pessimistic assumption. And the way 509 was written, and frankly one of the reasons why I was inclined to sit down and simply express my concern with the size of the cut, was that, you know, the phase-in aggregate amount really is such that we're guaranteed to have at least some revenue growth under that bill during the time in which it would be implemented. But I have to say, given that we've already had, in essence, a $620 million tax cut come through the process this year, I hope you'll appreciate that now on the last day of session, I am looking very carefully at other things that we are doing that might impact state revenue. And to that point, the bill that we started the day with, the bill from the senator from Green, I believe Senate Bill 584, I will tell you estimates of the impact of that bill differ and vary. I think the most small-c conservative estimates of its impact are in the eight figures, so the tens of millions of dollars. I will tell you that there are some who think that it is potentially a nine-figure fiscal impact with no revenue increase guaranteed to offset any of that, which is to say some believe that 584 would reduce state revenue by $100 million or more. I think that might be an overstated estimate, frankly. But, you know, we woke up this morning having already cut taxes by $620 million. We started our day by cutting taxes tens of millions more, maybe $100 million more. And you know what? I didn't filibuster the first proposal, and I voted for the second proposal. I'm just concerned as we go through the day that we're continuing to do things at the margins. And I'm not here to suggest that our K-12 education system is going to fail in our state because we, you know, for instance, extend the sales tax holiday for graphing calculators. And forgive me if I characterize it inaccurately, but, I mean, going to the fiscal note, the impact of that in the fiscal note at a 3% sales tax rate for state general revenue is almost $500,000, $442,000, another $147,000 to the school district trust, and the fiscal note estimates another $30,000 to conservation parks, soil, and water. And again, there's... Correct me if I'm wrong, is there any mechanism in Senate Bill 860 that, like the one on 509, that guarantees some sort of revenue increase to offset the revenue decreases that the bill
not that I know of, no.
So again, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about money that would not be available for appropriation. And I'll say the first fiscal year that this would impact is the fiscal year that will be beginning July 1, correct?
Correct.
And we've already passed a budget for FY15, haven't we?
Right.
So we've made assumptions of revenue based on the consensus revenue estimate in the that we adopted at the start of the year. And I have to say, based on how revenue has actually come in, the last I had heard, we were actually running, instead of the revenue increase that the consensus revenue estimate adopted by the legislature forecast, we're actually, to this point in the fiscal year, at either zero revenue growth or even slightly negative
revenue growth. I believe we're below not only the governor's, but our own consensus, yes.
Right. And, you know, and what concerns me about that, and frankly what concerns me about 860 in that set of circumstances, we have already passed a budget for FY15 based on the legislature's estimate of revenue growth in an environment where we haven't seen any revenue growth to speak of, and yet we have told school districts throughout the state to expect an additional formula funding increase in excess of $250 million. And as we stand here on May 16, 2014, based on the revenue collections we've had year to date, and we've only got a couple months left in this fiscal year, you know, the money's not there. I say that it's not this year's collections, but I mean we're down, and I am just greatly concerned that instead of the $250 million or $275 odd million revenue gain that our school districts have been advised by this body to expect, that what they're going to get is, you know, first and foremost, possibly a necessary withholding in that entire amount. And if we today, and 509 won't have an impact on FY15 for our schools, but this bill will. And so I'm concerned that we have a situation where we're going from telling our school districts to expect $250 million plus in new funding to one where our revenue collection is already where we think that we might not be able to give them one thin dime in new money in reality. And we've already this morning cut taxes between the tens of millions to $100 million plus on 584. And now we're talking about this. And don't get me wrong, I am not, you know, it would seem to me that educational supplies like graphing calculators or something, that if we're going to cut a sales tax, that'd be a pretty good one to cut the sales tax on. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah. The calculators, I guess, are important to kids in school these days. Most of them probably can't add and subtract on their own.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but you know, what this fiscal note tells me is that that's going to be another $500,000 that actually doesn't go to our schools. So I appreciate that we are making school supplies cheaper for our families. I think that's a great thing to do. But in reality, what we're doing is taking that dollar out of the very classroom that they're headed to. And so as a matter of policy, I would love to see us pass the sales tax exemption that's in this bill. I think it would be great. My concern is we've already cut taxes in the tens of millions to $100 million effective as soon as this 584 would become law, assuming it becomes law. And we've got another $620 million in tax cuts in the pipelines. And even though 509 is structured in a way such that we are guaranteed, assuming the fiscal note for it is correct, that we get $130 million net new revenue, which is to say at least $750 million in growth necessary to trigger $620 million in tax cuts. So we get a net $130 million growth, but that's a fraction. That $130 million in revenue growth that 509 guarantees is a fraction of what it would take just to bring the K-12 funding formula to a point where it's fully funded. And, you know, that's assuming that we actually have revenue growth, which we're not seeing. And I one of the features that I like in 509 a lot is that it gives us 2 years to try to fully fund the formula. And this year we appropriated more than $250 million for just that purpose, making up almost half the ground between where we are today and what full funding would be. But the problem is, so far, looking at what the actual receipts have been, there's no reason to assume that revenue is going to be there. And I'm not so sure that...
Senator Christian.
We're done.
Please, that bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Oh. Senator from Christian, would you like to withdraw your motion? Thank you, Senator from Christian. Senator from Newton?
President, without objection, Senate will go over business of messages in the House of Representatives. I ask the Secretary please read the message.
Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 642, entitled An Act Relating to Surface Mining, with House Amendment 1 adopted. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 567, entitled An Act Relating to Adult Daycare, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2 adopted. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1302, and requests the Senate to recede from its position and take up and pass House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1302. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Gore, business announcements.
Senator from Barton.
Madam President, I have an announcement at lunch. Lunch will be served immediately upon recess in the Pro Tem's office. The Flaming Lantern and my district is providing most of that. Cookies from Golden City, Missouri has provided pies, and they definitely rival the Rolling Pin if they don't exceed the Rolling Pin pies from Glasgow, Missouri from yesterday, and I would encourage the body to make that comparison and give me their final judgment after they've tried those pies. You, Senator from Johnson, are welcome to join that vote. And I would encourage all the senators and their staffs and research staff to please join us in the Pro Tem's office for lunch. Thank you, Madam President.
The order of business is announcements. Any announcements? Senator from the 8th.
Madam President.
Senator from the 8th.
To speak, to inquire of you.
State your inquiry.
Madam President, before you get off the dais, I wanted to tell you that I thought I enjoyed the 4 years I've been here working with you. I know we differ on views, but it's always easy for me to come talk to you and try to see if we can come to a compromise, and I do appreciate working with you over the last 4 years.
Thank you, Senator from the 8th. The order of a business is announcements. Are there any other announcements? Senator from Newton.
Madam President, no further business come from the body. I move the Senate stand in recess till 1:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? What time?
1:30 p.m.
The ayes have it. The Senate stands in recess until 1:30.